From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
This is not a complicated matter. The Oversight and Judiciary Committees issued duly authorized legal subpoenas to Attorney General Garland for a certain set of documents, including the audio recordings of Special Counsel Herr's interview with President Biden. The Attorney General has refused to produce these audio recordings.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. That was Kentucky Congressman James Comer on the House floor earlier today as the House just moments ago took the extraordinary step of holding Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Garland becomes only the third Attorney General to be held in contempt of Congress. We'll talk with Oklahoma Congressman Kevin Hern, chairman of the Republican Study Committee, in just a moment. Yesterday, a federal judge in Texas ruled that the Biden administration exceeded its authority in interpreting Title IX's definition of sex. Judge Reed O'Connor halted the rule change that redefines, in part, women's sports. We'll talk with Illinois Congresswoman Mary Miller, who has been one of the leaders in Congress countering the Biden administration on Title IX. The House is also debating the annual National Defense Authorization Act, which includes several amendments dealing with abortion to transgender surgery and more. Of course, it's all funded with tax dollars.
This is an important bill because it's going to support our brave service members. And it will do a number of things. It will ensure that our men and women in uniform can enjoy a high quality of life, as you've heard recounted here. And also the NDAA will restore the focus of our military on lethality. That's what the military is about.
That was House Speaker Mike Johnson earlier today. We'll get an update on what is happening and what you can do when FRC's Kena Gonzalez joins me here in studio. We'll also discuss recent public opinion surveys that show Republican voters have become more conservative and Democrats have become more liberal. And from the Senate scare leader, Chuck Schumer.
Not even IVF is safe in the aftermath of Roe. Today, women and families across America are rightfully worried that this basic service could be jeopardized, leaving them without an avenue to start a family. So this week, the Senate will act to put these worries to rest and to protect the reproductive freedoms of Americans through legislation. Tomorrow, the Senate will vote on the Right to IVF Act.
So when do you know that Chuck Schumer is misleading the American people? When his lips are moving. We're going to talk about what the Senate will really be voting on. And finally, according to weather experts, 2024 is on track to be a record-setting year for tornadoes, with nearly a 40% increase over last year already. The National Weather Service also predicts an above-average hurricane season with 4 to 7 major hurricanes. So what does that mean? Well, it means in part that there will be plenty of opportunity to serve others through the great work of organizations like Samaritan's Purse. Edward Graham joins us later with an update on Samaritan Purse's work in nearly a half a dozen states that's going on right now. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything, you can find it all there later, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, biblical truth is under attack in our culture. I think you know that if you're a frequent viewer and listener to Washington Watch. And we, that's us, all of us, must defend the faith. And right now, you can join with us and take advantage of a FRC's $2.5 million challenge match and have twice the impact when you make a donation, partner with us before June the 30th. To partner with us in defending the faith, text the word DEFEND to 67742. That's DEFEND to 67742. All right, as I mentioned, the House of Representatives just voted to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress for his refusal to turn over audio recordings of President Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Herr over his mishandling of classified documents. Now, in the written transcript of the interview, President Biden frequently displayed confusion regarding dates, countries, and the timeline of significant events, leading the special counsel to decline prosecuting the president. What does this congressional rebuke of President Biden's his attorney general mean? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Kevin Hern. He serves on the House Ways and Means Committee. He is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Oklahoma. Congressman Hern, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Tony, it's great to be with you.
So as I was watching the vote that just took place moments ago, I saw you on the House floor. Merrick Garland just became the 3rd attorney general in U.S. history to be held in contempt of Congress. What does that mean?
Well, certainly you have to ask, you know, why was he held in contempt? And he is certainly, interfering with the very basic fundamental rights that you learn in civics in junior high, which is the rights of checks and balances that the government has between our court system, our legislative branch, and our executive branch. And Jim Jordan with the Judiciary Committee asked him to present the audio tapes of the transcripts that they brought forward, because we know based on past transcripts that they've been altered. And so he wanted to corroborate those transcripts with the audio tapes, and Merrick Garland said he would not present those. And so we went through the process of the impeachment inquiry to get this information, to validate this evidence, if you will, and he refused to give it forward. He is the highest ranking law enforcement official in the United States. And so now he's been held in contempt, 216 to 207 on the votes, and we're going to move forward with that process.
In an article this week, Attorney General Garland wrote of efforts to, quote, bully and intimidate career public servants and denied any politicization of the Justice Department. He basically says this is the Congress trying to keep him from doing his work.
Well, I mean, it's easy to say that. If there's nothing to hide, then he should put it forward. We've seen time and time again, President Biden turned the wrong way on stages, walked to where there were no steps, shake hands with ghosts, talk about his dad or his uncle, one of his relatives been eaten by cannibals, reading a teleprompter, literally word for word, and reading the pause statement on his speech. And then to get those transcripts and see those being removed, when it really has no meaning to be removed, you're kind of wondering, is the evidence really true? And then you have the her testimony that said when he did the interview that he saw basically an elderly person that had a poor memory, and said that Joe Biden brought forth the notion and the idea and the comment that he had classified documents and that he was writing a book. So, you know, these are the very things that Democrats are going after the former president about. We want to make sure that the current sitting president that has all of the influence that he has with China and Ukraine and Russia, the very place that his son and his brother have been accused and we're bringing evidence forward to show have received benefit. We want to make sure that our government is free from that.
Is there any expectation that this will prompt the attorney general to deliver that information that's been requested by Congress?
We were talking about that just a minute ago. I think that's a great point. I could see him coming forward and saying, okay, yes, I said there was no meaningful use for this, but since you ask, I'll bring it forward. The Department of Justice, they got to figure out what they're going to do with a duly nominated and supported and confirmed attorney general. Are they going to do their work as the Department of Justice? Or are they going to allow him to be political? The one that's playing politics here is Merrick Garland.
Right. So realistically, the attorney general is not going to come after the attorney general. I mean, because this is you're appealing to the Department of Justice here that, you know, really doesn't understand justice. So what Congress can do, Congress has the purse strings. Any discussion about when a cabinet official is held in contempt of Congress, meaning basically they're thumbing their nose at Congress, that Congress would set in place an automatic percentage cut in their budget to maybe ratchet up the pressure on them to comply with Congress?
Tony, I think those are all great points. We're in uncharted waters right now with what's going on. I think when you see what happened with, you know, Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon, both did exactly, you know, they didn't testify before Congress, were held in contempt of Congress, and you see what happened. Both Peter Navarro is currently serving a term. Steve Bannon has been ordered to his appeals have ran out, and the court system outside of Washington, D.C., basically have said when you're compelled by Congress under an investigation to come forward or present evidence, you're to be held accountable. So the same Department of Justice that said this about these two individuals should be working on the same set of rules, because otherwise what we have is what the American people know and have seen here recently, going back to President Trump and what happened in Manhattan, you know, a couple months ago and then just 2 weeks ago, is there is a two-tiered system of right. justice. Merrick Garland doesn't come forward.
I don't see how that narrative is not advanced by this, because that's exactly what this is. It shows that there's a two-tier system of justice. Merrick Garland gets off. You have people like Navarro and Steve Bannon go to jail. Another topic today, Congress is voting on amendments to the National Defense Authorization Act. That's an annual must-pass piece of legislation. More than 1,300 amendments had been filed this year. Many of those amendments are being voted on to the House floor. This could take us up until Friday morning. Talk a little bit about the National Defense Authorization and the posture you think that bill will be in.
Well, we're looking at all the 1,358, I believe was the exact number, that's been winnowed down to about 350 that are so-called germane, that are applicable to the military spending. Those will be, some will be voice voted because they'll be agreed by both sides. This passed out of committee 57-1 prior to the amendment. So there's a lot of bipartisanship there. I think everybody in Congress knows the importance of supporting our military men and women. It has some really critical items in there, like better housing, more opportunities for spouses to be able to work, better child care. And I think one of the big important things is for the lower echelon of, you know, enlisted men, E1s through E4s are getting a 20% pay bump. And then the rest of the military personnel are getting a 4.5% bump. But it also looks at, you know, where the hot spots in the world are, specifically in Western Pacific around China. So the Indo-PACOM bill, a portion of this bill has been plussed up to send a message to China and others that want to think that we're being lax in that area. So a lot of great bills. We're working through the process right now, the amendment. And to your point, we'll have the vote on Friday. And I think we'll pass it for the 65th year in a row.
Also, amendments addressing more hot button issues where the military has gotten into illegal abortion travel program. We've got the DEI programs within the Department of Defense, gender procedures. What do you see the outcome being of those amendments?
Well, those amendments are going to be voted on. They'll probably pass along party lines. There may be a couple of Democrats support them. I don't know. But last year, we had the no abortion travel funds in there, and along with DEI cuts, CRT cuts, and other things, and it passed, and the NDAA passed out of the House. So I think that, you know, when people look at this and look how the military has been just taken over by some of these woke policies, I think there are some Democrats, hopefully, and prayerfully, there's still some Democrats that care about our military men and women being, you know, projecting the strength and the resolve around the world that we know that they can do. We're the strongest military in the world, and we certainly need to make sure the lethality of our military is presented to all of those who want to challenge it.
Congressman Kevin Hearn, final question, 30 seconds. Anything we should be looking for in particular in the next 48 hours?
Well, I think to your point earlier, we need to see what Merrick Garland comes back, what the White House's response is now that the final vote's been pushed through. The rule this morning was 208-207. The final pass is 216-207. I think this is a really important message to send to the rest of the world. I think it's an opportunity for the White House to, you know, stand up and say that they do care about justice. They do care about the rule of law. They do care about the checks and balances of the federal government, how important that is. So I think that's going to be the most critical issue in the 24 hours.
Well, we'll be watching very intently to see if that's the case. Kevin Hearn, always great to see you. Thanks for joining us. Folks, stick with us. We're coming back with more after this.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you want to join us in defending the faith, right now we have a $2.5 million challenge match. Every dollar you give will be matched. So a dollar becomes $2, $10 becomes $20, and you can double your impact. If you'd like to partner with us in defending the faith, simply text DEFEND to 67742. That's the word DEFEND to 67742, and we'll send you a link. Well, a federal judge in Texas struck down the Biden administration's legal guidance for the interpretation of Title IX yesterday, saying the government, quote, engaged in unlawful agency action taken in excess of their authority, end quote. This guidance was non-binding, but formed the basis for the Biden administration's more recent rewrite of Title IX to equate gender identity with biological sex. Now, this court decision represents just one of many efforts to curb this radical rewrite of Title IX, which includes at least nine states' attorneys general filing lawsuits against the rewrite and an upcoming Congressional Review Act resolution to nullify the language in the ruling. In fact, this afternoon, Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, who was a part of this, had this to say at a press conference, clip 9.
President Biden's Title IX regulation stretches the law way beyond reason, ignores basic biological facts, and infringes on the rights of parents and teachers. It is a backward rule that only hurts women and girls by stripping away opportunities and rights they have enjoyed for decades.
Joining me now to discuss this, Congresswoman Mary Miller. She serves on the House Committee on Education and the Workforce and the House Committee on Agriculture. She represents the 15th Congressional District, and she has been leading on this pushback against the Biden administration's rewrite of Title IX. Congresswoman Miller, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always good to see you.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to share how we're going to push back against this evil.
Well, good news yesterday. It's a good start out of the court in Texas. Your reaction to that court decision?
Well, that just shows us the importance of having good judges. And this is a big win for us. So, you know, we're going to carry on and push back. And whether it's fathers fighting for their daughters, pushing back and saying, my daughter's not going to shower with a guy in the girls' public school locker room. I mean, this is, well, Ben Carson called it ridiculous, and it is.
And the American people are certainly with you on this issue. In fact, certainly the Republican voters, where upwards of 90% of them agree that this is crazy that government would be doing this. Give our listeners and our viewers kind of a little glimpse into what you're working on in conjunction with, like I just played a clip from Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith. Talk about some of the congressional action.
Sure. So, as your listeners probably know, in 1972, Title IX was passed to give our girls and women equal access to educational opportunities, which include scholarships, athletic teams, and then, you know, sex-segregated private spaces. And Joe Biden now has radically flipped this on its head because he's radical and everything he does is radical. And it's basically going to force all public schools, even private schools, any school that's taking any federal money from, they're going to be forced to allow boys and men in girls' athletics, in their locker rooms, showers. It's also going to force coerced speech. So, you know, I can see ahead that there's going to be even more chaos when teachers are fired or students are expelled because they've misgendered a transgender person.
So we're talking about pronouns here, that they have to use a particular pronoun or description that the individual chooses that is not in alignment with their biological sex. So tomorrow, the House Committee on Education and the Workforce will conduct a public markup that includes a Congressional Review Act that would nullify the Biden administration's Title IX rule. Now, this comes as at least 9 states have also filed lawsuits against the Biden administration's Title IX rewrite.
Yes.
Momentum is building. Do you anticipate seeing this Congressional Review Act passing?
Absolutely. And I already have 70 other members signed on to it. And I think, you know, as word gets out, more and more members will sign on. I mean, it's only common sense. And another thing, you know, I started the Congressional Family Caucus, and we're standing up for parental rights, and we're standing up for our children. And this is a big issue for us, whether it's, you know, we've been standing against the transgendering of minor children. But, you know, this Congressional Review Act is going to reverse Joe Biden's radical Title IX bill, and I believe it will pass.
So, Congresswoman Mary Miller, how can people help? How can our listeners and our viewers weigh in here?
Okay, well, I just want to say, in your realm of influence, get involved. If your children or if your daughters are being forced to, you know, shower or share a locker room or a sports team, go to the school and protest. And tell them that you're going to withdraw your child or transfer them to another school. And, you know, we just have to push back. This is evil. And like our good friend Erwin Lutzer says, evil never retreats on its own, only when it's confronted by a more powerful force. And we are a force if we do it together. And I want the American people, like the majority, oppose Joe Biden's radical rewrite of Title IX. So the majority of us need to speak up and stand up and be a force against it.
That's right. This is not a time to be silent or to shrink back into the shadows. And Congresswoman Mary Miller, thank you for speaking out boldly on behalf of families and common sense on Capitol Hill.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, you can also weigh in on this Congressional Review Act with your member of Congress. You can call the Capitol Switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You can tell both your congressman or woman and your two senators that they need to stand with this Congressional Review Act that would overturn the Biden administration Title IX rule. All right. So, again, that switchboard number, 202-224-3121. You can also go to TonyPerkins.com, get more information. All right, we've had an unusually rough spring for weather events throughout the country. And after the break, I'm going to talk with Edward Graham from Samaritan's Purse, which now has teams working throughout affected areas to help those in need. And according to the forecast, more is on the way. So stay tuned for more Washington Watch that's on the way as well.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Be sure and check it out. Also, if you've not yet downloaded the Stand Firm app, now's the time to do it. It's a cancel-resistant platform so that news and information from a biblical view, a worldview, can continue to be accessed by Christians across the country. So go ahead and download the Stand Firm app. You can go to the App Store, or you can text APP to 67742. In recent months, both floods and tornadoes have ripped through parts of the country's Midwest and Southeast region, upending people's lives and shattering their homes and businesses. According to the weather experts, we're on track for a record in terms of tornadoes this year and anticipating a pretty rough hurricane season. Well, as they always do, Samaritan's Purse has been on the ground in affected communities with their ministry of aid and relief, serving people in Jesus' name. Joining me now to discuss the ongoing work of Samaritan's Purse teams, the work that they're doing, and how you can join them in ministering to others across the country in need, Edward Graham, Chief Operating Officer of Samaritan's Purse. Edward, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having us on. And again, we always appreciate what your ministry does to share the gospel around the world.
Well, thank you, Edward. We've been trying to connect with you because I know you've been very busy, you and your dad, both, the whole team. And so we've been tracking the work that you've been doing in the wake of so many of these storms. Bring us up to speed on where you're at, where your teams are working, and how folks can help.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a busy season. And unfortunately, because of what's in the news, and that's courtroom drama between the president and also President Trump and then former President Trump, but also Biden's son, it takes away from what's happening around the U.S. and around the world. And we've had a lot of storms here, and the news really isn't covering that. But we've had torrential rains, and in these locations where we had rains and it flooded, then tornadoes came, and these trees easily uprooted. So we're working in five different locations. We're in Arkansas. We're in two different locations in Texas. We're in Florida with flooding down there as well. And then in Arkansas, I'll be going back to Arkansas this Friday. Well, I was already out there earlier in the week, and I was on two of our locations in Texas, and I've just seen so much damage. Massive tornadoes have come in, massive amounts of flooding there in Texas, homes completely destroyed, and there's not a lot of organizations out there. I go to storms all over, and usually you'll see a flood of different groups and volunteers. They're just not out there. But we are with Samaritan's Purse. There's a couple other church organizations. The Baptists are out there. I've seen them. But we need volunteers. We need people to come out and help serve and love on their neighbors and do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We want these homeowners to know they're not forsaken. They're loved, and Jesus Christ loves them so much. And that's why we go out.
So Edward, is the intensity of these storms and the I mean, we've seen them back to back in places like Oklahoma and Texas. Is that what is stretching the relief services so thin?
Yeah, I think so. And even, you know, we can still deploy to other locations if we need to, but we're even getting stretched kind of thin just being in five locations. You know, like you said, Oklahoma, we're there as well serving. But I think, too, it's just when the news doesn't cover certain, some of the smaller organizations and church organizations have a hard time raising funds to deploy or stay for long. They'll come and then leave, unfortunately, because it's not in the news cycle. God's blessed us with resources to be able to go and to be able to stay with longevity. But you know what? God brings us the best people. We got volunteers coming from all over. I even met someone from Canada that came down. But we got people traveling all the way from New Jersey down to Texas to serve complete strangers. And God always truly does bring the best volunteers. We've had hundreds of volunteers out serving. But the neat thing is we're already seeing decisions for Christ. These homeowners, simply the gift of removing a tree or tarping a roof, mudding out a home. Now, mudding out homes are hard. You know that better than anyone being down in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And that especially that humidity. And those that's hard work. But they're going to ask why you're here. And that's when you get the opportunity. This is where we partner with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Chaplains. They're trained in sharing hope in crisis. And they'll go out and they'll answer the question, why? And it's neat to watch to see lives restored.
Yeah, and I can speak to that from experience. As you mentioned, in Louisiana when I was pastoring, your father was the first one I reached out to in Samaritan's Purse. And this is something that I think is draws a line of distinction with Samaritan's Purse and some of the others. You were on the ground for nearly 2.5 years. So long after the news forgot about the natural disaster, the Samaritan's Purse teams were there, folks coming across the country to be a part of that. So tell us, tell our viewers and listeners how they can be a part of these volunteer teams.
Yeah, it's really easy. You can go to SamaritansPurse.org. And it'll have a drop down that says how to get involved. And you go to that menu right there, and it'll show up all the locations where you can volunteer. And we'll provide the place to stay, the food, we have the equipment. We just need able body. You know what? It's summertime, schools are out. If you have someone that's 14 years of age or older, bring them out. Bring the youth groups, bring the sports teams. It is great ministry. It's hard work, but it's a lot of fun. We'll teach you how to tarp a roof. We'll teach you how to use the chainsaw. Our best chainsaw operators are usually the all female teams that go out. We have women's Bible studies that come out and they crush it. But it's just a great ministry opportunity. It's so easy to get involved.
And my wife's pretty good with a chainsaw as well. But it's also, I just want to say this, Edward, having worked alongside Samaritan's Purse, not a moment is wasted, well-organized, very efficient in carrying out the task. So we're going to encourage people to check out the website and help volunteer alongside the folks all across this country that are coming into these places of need. Edward, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Tony. I appreciate you highlighting this while others aren't. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. And folks, also be praying. Be praying for the volunteers that are going out there. All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about what's coming up on this vote for the National Defense Authorization Act. Kena Gonzalez is going to join me to break it down here next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions.
Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
All right, folks, I don't need to tell you this, but biblical truth is under attack in our culture and in our nation. And if we don't defend the faith, who will? And so I want to challenge you to join us in defending the faith. Stand with us. Partner with us. Take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match and have twice the impact when you give before June the 30th. We need your partnership. This program and what we do here in our nation's capital only happens because of folks like you all across the country. So if you want to join us in defending the faith, text the word DEFEND to 67742. Our word for today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 22, where David writes a psalm of praise. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence." Now, in these two verses, David recognizes the presence and power of God in his life in nine different ways. Number one, he's his rock, a solid foundation, his fortress, his deliverer, his strength, the shield that protects him from the fiery darts, his salvation, his stronghold, our safe place, the refuge, our shelter, and Savior, the one who saves us from the violence of sin and death. And when you consider all that God provides, David then writes this in verse 4, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." I invite you to join us on our journey through the Bible. Text Bible to 67742 to join us on this daily journey. Again, that's Bible to 67742. Well, it's been a busy week on Capitol Hill with multiple pieces of legislation moving their way through the process. The big one, the National Defense Authorization Act. Right now, amendments are under consideration, as I discussed earlier in the program, as well as an expected vote tomorrow in the Senate on IVF legislation that does more than what the Senate scare leader Chuck Schumer had to say earlier in the program. This bill would both expand taxpayer funding for this industry while shielding it from accountability or legal liabilities. Joining me now to provide an update on these legislative efforts is Kena Gonzalez, Senior Director of Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council. Kena, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you.
So let's start with the NDAA. We talked about that briefly with Congressman Hearn early in the program. What can you tell us about some of these amendments, the 350-plus that you're tracking?
Yeah. So 350 amendments were made in order by the Rules Committee, which means that they're, as Representative Hearn said, they're germane to the bill, and so they'll get votes. And so the House will be voting. They started voting today, and they will be voting on through Thursday night into Friday on these amendments. Some of them are really pertinent to our issues, and we've been tracking them closely. One of those is an amendment that would go after the same issue that Senator Tuberville went after last year, which was the provision of abortions and abortion services, travel reimbursements and things like that by the Department of Defense. There's also a number of provisions that are amendments that are coming up for votes on gender transition procedures. Democrats like to use the Department of Defense to provide all kinds of things.
And we're, all of these things we're talking about are funded with taxpayer dollars.
That's right. All of this is funded with the viewers' taxpayer dollars.
Now, for some who would say, wait a minute, I thought there was this thing called the Hyde Amendment that prohibited taxpayer funds from going to abortion.
Yes.
Explain why that doesn't apply here in some of these cases.
We think it should, and there's actual active litigation and consideration of litigation to see how the courts should apply this. But nevertheless, we're happy that Republicans in Congress are not waiting for that to play out and are holding the Biden administration accountable.
So in a couple of ways, they're skirting this with the military is that, one, they're funding the transportation, saying they're not funding the abortion.
Right.
They're giving people time off, allowing them to get this. But some claim that the Hyde Amendment does not apply in this particular case. But as you said, that's something that's going to be litigated. Let's talk about there's also issues regarding diversity, equity and inclusion. Amendments dealing with that in the military.
Yes, there are. And people need to understand who are watching that this is not just diversity, equity, and inclusion. There are amendments that are being considered by Republicans right now to prevent drag queen story hours.
Is that for the soldiers?
No comment. It may be for soldiers, and in some cases it's for children. People forget that children right. are on military bases
so
overseas.
The military, and this is one of the reasons the military is under attack constantly, is because it is kind of a laboratory, not just for the men and women who serve in uniform, but for their families.
That's
because
right.
when you go to these military bases, they are encapsulated. You've got your own schools. You've got your own medical facilities.
Right.
And so they're trying to push all of this through there because, as we've seen, I've seen over my 20-some years here, is that if you can get into the military, you can get it into the broader society.
That's right. This is a way of normalizing things that the American people would never stand for if they did it on a broader scale. This is the camel's nose under the tent.
So is there a listing available to our viewers and listeners as to what action they need to take?
We sent a score letter that you posted on your social media account, and that lists the amendments that we are supporting.
Right, and folks can weigh in by calling the Capitol switchboard.
That's right.
All right, and that, folks, let me give you that number again. It's 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And as you've been hearing, we've been talking about a number of these amendments as it relates to abortion, as it relates to gender transition surgeries, and the liberal DEI, all of this stuff that they're pushing, the woke agenda. Just contact your member of Congress and tell them to have the military focus on its mission, and that is to fight and win America's wars. Anything else we missed on the NDAA?
Well, I think it's important on the religious liberty front that to note that the Secretary of Defense forced out many chaplains because they refused to take the COVID shot, and there's an amendment pending on that as well to reinstate or restore their military service and back pay.
All right, I'm going to go over to the other chamber right now, and I want to go to the issue of the IVF, in vitro fertilization. I want to play this clip again. I played at the top of the program of Chuck Schumer, Senate I like to call him Senate scare leader because he's always trying to scare people into doing things they shouldn't. Clip five.
Not even IVF is safe in the aftermath of Roe. Today, women and families across America are rightfully worried that this basic service could be jeopardized, leaving them without an avenue to start a family. So this week, the Senate will act to put these worries to rest and to protect the reproductive freedoms of Americans through legislation. Tomorrow, the Senate will vote on the Right to IVF Act.
All right, let's talk about what is really in this bill and what it's all about.
Yeah, this is actually a very expansive bill. It's over 60 pages long, and there's a lot of mischief hung up in it. In the name of protecting IVF, and by the way, I'm not sure what they're protecting IVF from, but in the name of protecting IVF, this bill could legalize human cloning, gene editing, and the creation of three-parent embryos, the creation of animal-human hybrids called chimeras, commercial gestational surrogacy, which is currently illegal in several states, the buying, selling, and destruction of human embryos nationwide, and it would leave open the door for more practices to be added at the whim of the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
So this is not about protecting the ability of men and women to conceive and have children.
No, it goes far beyond that. And in fact, it is destructive of human life. The way this bill is worded, it would get rid of or push back against federal and state protections for human life.
So this is very similar to the Women's Health Protection Act, I think is what it was called, that Nancy Pelosi pushed through the chamber back when she was Speaker, which would eliminate state pro-life laws. So this would eliminate state laws that simply, for instance, have some form of regulation on this, because one of the problems that many pro-lifers have, and this has been a kind of a controversial issue among the pro-life community, that there is an excess number of embryos often created in these fertilization clinics.
Typically, yes.
And what happens to them? So that's been a big question, that that's not the destruction of a human embryo or they're not used for other purposes. That would be beyond regulation under this.
That's right. States could not step in if this bill were to become law and protect those embryos.
A number of years ago, back during the George W. Bush administration, there was a big deal about the snowflake babies, mm-hmm. where these frozen embryos were adopted and they became children.
Yes.
Because that's what they are.
That's right.
This goes, as you said, I want to unpack this a little bit because we're talking about chimeras. We're talking about a lot of stuff that Congress has actually tried to prohibit.
Yes.
In years past. This gives a green light to taking us into a, quite frankly, a very scary place.
Yeah, a very dark place. And it plays upon the hopes and fears and dreams of parents who hope to become pregnant. I think it's important to say, Tony, that we should recognize that every person, regardless of the circumstance of their conception, is inherently valuable and created in the image of God, and that the millions of children who have been born through IVF are precious and of inestimable value. But this bill goes far beyond that, and it ignores the fact that the best studies show that more than 90% of those embryonic children will never be born.
Right. But also, I want to go back to what you said initially. There's no attack. There's no effort to restrict this anywhere in the country. So this is a solution in search of a problem.
It's a cynical political ploy to change the channel and change the topic in an election year.
But it's like an iceberg. While they're talking about the tip of this to protect reproductive rights, it goes way beyond that, and you've got to look beneath the surface. They are misleading. I would be as bold to say that they're lying about what this really does.
It is very deceptive. There's a danger to religious employers, both religious organizations
right.
such as ours, and people like Hobby Lobby who don't want to fund
who
this kind of thing.
Who actually went to all the way to the Supreme Court. issue like this. All right, so action item, what can people do to weigh in on this?
Well, we have an action alert on the website. They can go to TonyPerkins.com and click through and take action and let their senators know that they want their senators to vote no on this tomorrow.
All right, so that's at TonyPerkins.com, or if you're on the app, it should be there under the resources for the show. All right, I want to move to one other topic, Kana, before we run out of time. That is two recent public survey polls. Gallup and Pew Research found some very interesting, had some interesting analysis on where Americans stand on social and economic issues. And I want to just quote from the Gallup study, one line in particular, which I think sums it all up. This is what the bottom line, I'm quoting from it. Compared with 2004 and 2014, Republicans have become more conservative and Democrats have become more liberal and vote in their views on both social and economic issues. Now, that should come as no surprise.
Right.
That's what we're seeing. The divide in America is becoming wider, not more narrow. I'm not celebrating that, but that's a reality.
Yes.
So the two parties should be tracking where the American people are.
Yes.
And we're about to move into a time period where both parties are going to be gathering for their conventions. And we've talked a lot on this program, not a lot, not as much as we're going to, about the party platforms, which I'm going to be a part of. Let's talk about some of those issues and where Republican voters stand versus where Democrat voters stand.
That's right. Republican voters, by and large, are extremely pro-life. And it is very important in an election year like this one for the parties. Every 4 years, as you know, Tony, they articulate where they stand on the issues. And the issue of life in particular has been one that the Republican Party has been very strong on and stronger over time. Back in 2016, you helped write the party platform that was used again in 2020, which was very strong on the life issue. And that's where Republican voters are.
The on that issue, this is according to the Pew research poll. 88% of Biden supporters say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. 88%. Only 38% of Trump supporters say the same thing. So the vast majority, 60%, stand unapologetically for life. The other, well, there's a couple of others, but one in particular, the other big issue is on the issue of gender, a clear contrast between the two parties. Nearly all Trump supporters, 90%, say gender is determined by sex at birth. Biden supporters are more divided. 6 in 10, 60%, say gender can be different from sex at birth. Man, how do you have a country that's so divided on such obvious issues?
Such obvious issues, such as self-evident issues. The good news, Tony, is that other polling is showing that people are pulling back from the gender ideology, and an increasing share of voters are seeing the truth in this.
And the parties are going to have to reflect that. That's why I think you're going to see the Democratic Party going further left, and hopefully the Republican Party will be solidifying its position on these issues. Kana, good to see you. We're out of time.
Good to see you, Tony.
All right, folks, need you to weigh in on this because the Republican Party needs to hear from you. You need to contact your state party chairman and tell them to stand firm on life. That's where you are, and that's where the party needs to be. You can text LIFE to 67742. That's LIFE to 67742. You'll get a link, and you can contact the state party chairman. That convention where the party platform is going to be written is coming up very soon. I need you to weigh in. Do your part. All right, folks, out of time. But until next time, let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.